Welcome, everyone, to Sunday Scriptures for Patriots, Defeating America's Enemies Through Christian Self-Government. My name is Sean Morgan. I'm here with Barry Dermaz, and we are going to discuss, instead of like I normally do, Monday through Friday, going through all the breaking news and all the crazy stuff that's happening in the world, we are going to get into spiritual solutions to these earthly problems. So I just want to introduce Barry now, my co-host. Barry, you've been experimenting with Christian self-government for a couple of decades now. It's your passion. Would you mind giving us a little bit of a background on that?
Yes, Sean, thank you for having me on this new program of yours. And just to say that 25 years ago, I was introduced to a view of America that I was never taught in all of my years of government public education, nor in many more years of church, or you know, what we consider maybe a Christian education, Sunday school and sermons. And so what I heard from some individuals was very captivating, and I had to have more. And I've been pursuing that and pursuing people and embracing these ideas and getting pregnant with them.
Yeah, you don't hear about men getting pregnant every day, but you got pregnant with these ideas, and you actually are giving birth to a book. Tell us about that.
Yes, thank you for asking that. And the book title is What is an American? The subtitle is How the Virtuous Government of America's Unseen King Deals a Death Blow to the Evils of Socialism, Marxism, and Communism. And that's essentially an introductory work that represents where I've been for 25 years, not just study for study's sake, Sean, but study for transformation. That's what I'm experiencing.
Yeah, you talk about in the book, and by the way, you know, I really loved your book, and that's what inspired me to do this new program with you. I like how you talk about world overcoming, that Jesus, you know, when you get into his kingdom government, it's world overcoming. So, you know, you could explain to people what is so bad about the world that you have to overcome it, and why should we be so grateful that Jesus already overcame the world?
Yes. What's so bad about it is that it's a fallen reality. It's broken, and it's irreparable without the Creator himself coming in and correcting that. And it's good, Sean, to actually make a distinction that when we talk about the world, there's at least two understandings. There's the world as in the earth, the land, the dirt, the terra firma. And then there's the world as a system, an order, an attitude. And people get confused about that. And so perhaps we can, you know, clarify what we mean there. But we're talking about, yeah, we should. It's not about the land. It's about, from God's viewpoint, yeah, doing good on the land. But overcoming the world is its rebellious, lawless disposition.
That's just what the evil one, you know, Satan's all about, is rebellion and lawlessness. And in the Bible, it's interchangeable, the lawless one, right? I mean, Satan has different names, and that's one of them, just the term. It defines Satan and his minions and his followers, and all evil is related to rebellion against the law.
Yes. That's the definition of lawlessness, is being without restraint, without the highest law. And that's law that never changes. It's always been wrong, Sean, to just do a few things like murder, theft, and adultery. A few things, not a lot, just a few things are truly evil, and therefore we call criminal. And then so after that, that's, we have liberty to do many, many things. But man, in his, what fallen men want to, in disobedience to the Lord, the Creator, in disobedience to him, to take dominion on land. When you don't do that, the default position is you dominate over other men. That's the wickedness.
Right. And that's a recurring theme in the deep state's media and in their cults and in their fetishes is this constant BDSM, you know, domination kind of theme. You know, I remember when the governor of New York, it was proven in a video that he was wearing nipple rings through his white polo. And then the guy who helped steal the 2020 election, Eric Coomer, for Dominion Voting Systems, also had nipple rings on. So it's like this veil, you know, is lifted, and we can see behind that these characters are into this domination thing. And also recently, George Soros's right-hand man, who worked for him and his investment firm, has been indicted because there have been several women who talked about how he abused them in sexual relationships that involved this, like, you know, sex dungeon and all this stuff. So, I mean, I know I'm getting graphic here and everything, but this is a part of evil that we have to know about and be against, because there was a Disney kid, Miley Cyrus, who was Hannah Montana, and she was in all these Disney movies and stuff. And then when she turned 17, 18, they turned her into a sex symbol. They put a bunch of leather straps on her and piercings and stuff. And she was on stage during the biggest performance of the year doing this domination stuff. So this is a big part of the evil programming in media that's, Barry, you and your family are watching all Christian movies and stuff. You probably don't even know what I'm talking about here, but this is a big part of popular culture right now. And so the domination, you see it in fascism and communism and all these evil systems around the world, but you also see it in the popular culture.
Yes, you do. And so a couple things, Sean, the most recent comment there, we may not as a family be aware of every little thing. You know, you're in a role of reporting, right? And underground reporting. And I look up to guys like yourself to convince, you know, what are the, you just can't stay on top of everything. And we try to stay on top of governmental principles that cannot be broken without consequence. And so that's where your service is very valuable, to bring what are the most egregious or pertinent things for our consideration. And the second thing, though, to really bring home on what you just said, is that you are articulating some of the most obvious rebellion and lawlessness out there. And we can see that. And at the same time, part of where I'm coming from, my perspective, Sean, and that I'm writing in the book, is that many of us have unwittingly supporting the very people and agencies that are attacking the family. We're actually supporting. I like to use the word accommodating the world order, or
complicit.
Yes. And showing aid and comfort. Showing aid and comfort to our enemies, America's enemies. And so 25 years, I've been studying what's good about America, these governmental principles. I started seeing, Sean, the veil come off my eyes. Like, I can start seeing the enemies. Like, wait a minute. I'm actually supporting these people myself. Mm. I'm not going to do it anymore.
Can you name some specifics?
You want to go there now, huh?
It doesn't have to be no. You. It's just how people actually do it.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, definitely can. And I can start at... Well, I would say that clearly domestic terrorism in America is what's called the three-letter boys, the IRS. Okay, I'll just put that out there. And but now, see, these are external enemies. What is the idea and principle behind taxes, is income taxes? And that's about your labor. So what I learned in studying America's Christian history and government, Sean, is that your labor is your property, and it does not belong to a total stranger. Okay. And there is proper taxation, but when it comes to income, no, at the individual level, which applies to most people in America. So that's definitely an enemy to our way of life. And any agency, actually, wanting to control the private sector. The private sector. If it, you know, if an agency wants to control its employees in the public sector, where, you know, public works, public agencies, I don't want to argue with that. I think there's legitimacy there. But what has happened is they've crossed the line. They blurred. That's the key word. They blurred the distinctions between the public sector and the private, and that's they've melded them, and that's the confusion there. So we have unwittingly supporting attacks on our family because they blurred those distinctions between public and private.
Barry, do you believe that the reason why the government keeps on doling out stimulus and so forth is because they want us to acquiesce to this agreement that we are under them? And then once they get that agreement, then they have the right to tell us what to do and tax us and all these things they do.
Yes, agreement. And I'll state that again about the agreement.
Oh, yeah. So when they give us a stimulus payment, for example, and try to get us dependent on them, are they legally trying to get our agreement that we're under their authority by doing that?
Legally, most likely. Now, is it true governance? Is it truly lawful? Somebody has, you know, made the case that something could be legal, but not truly lawful. For example, the dollar bills in our, you know, our pockets and our wallets say that this note is for legal tender. And what is that legal tender? You know, you have to be told that it's okay to use this. Like you're not, it's not clear to your own conscience and knowledge that you could use this as a medium of exchange, right? A value of exchange. But it says there it's for legal tender for debts, public and private. And yet, if we do a little study, that paper bill has to be supported by value such as gold or silver. There could be other things, but historically in America, it's been gold and silver. And I have those certificates that say there's silver behind it. And then the closest thing, or even better than that, would be the silver or gold itself. So there's been a progression of an attack on the American way of life, of value, true substance, true virtue.
Let's go back briefly to the idea of lawlessness, and that it is actually pretty simple. When you just go to the Ten Commandments, there's some basic things that humans shouldn't do. We shouldn't lie, cheat, steal, all of those things. And it just brings me back to when Jesus was trying to clarify, you know, the most people are asking him, what's the most important commandment? And he said to love, maybe you can quote it for me, something about loving God with all of yourself and then loving your neighbor as yourself. And then all of the law and the prophets hang on that. Could you, you're better with scripture. Maybe you can bring us back to that scripture.
Well, Sean, you're saying it, well, and simply, and that is, there's really two great laws. Yep. Love God and love your neighbor. That's, and yeah. And that's where Jesus said, on these two great commandments, two great laws, hang all other laws, which tells us that's the point of law. It's not to be, you know, to control everything, just a few things that are always have been, are inherently evil, meaning doing harm to your neighbor. And your neighbor could be anywhere. Your neighbors, wherever you are, there's someone else besides you, you know. And that's the just view of law, is that to protect each one of us from harming each other. But if we do cause injury, then it's at that time we look into, okay, what went wrong? And, you know, both sides have an opportunity to, you know, have a meaningful opportunity to be heard and make it right.
And that's what the legal system's really supposed to be all about, right? Where you get before a judge who's an impartial person, and both sides can have a meaningful ability to be heard, or maybe have a jury of your peers involved. That's what it's all about. But it seems like it's turned into this crony system where you have whoever nominated the judge, it gets permanent lifelong loyalty, and then they just decide things according to one party or another party or whoever nominated them. It's been perverted. The justice system has been perverted. So it can probably get pretty overwhelming. You feel like America's lost. What can we do now? And then you're saying it all begins in our home.
It does. One of the premises of the book that I'm articulating is that if we're talking about America and America's greatness does not begin in the White House, the schoolhouse, the state house, or the courthouse. America's greatness begins, Sean, in your house and in my house and whoever's listening. That's the distinctly a Christian idea of government, that it's itself and your first jurisdiction of your family.
Can you take us back to the legal framework of that in England and in the United States, and what made that so different from the way everyone was doing it around the world under these tyrannical monarchs?
Mm-hmm. Well, that is an excellent question. And in answering that, it helps us see that America just wasn't a random occurrence, you know, that America was born. There really is, truth be told, the highest truth be told, you can take all the way back to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he when he gave the Great Commission, and you look at all his teachings, he's giving the full import of the older covenant, the older testament, where there's law. He's giving the full meaning of it, and that's liberty. Liberty is the law, because before Christ, there was really all law and liberty for a few. And when Christ came, he brought the perfect law of liberty, which is for all.
Okay? And we were slaves to sin, and he set the captives free.
That's right. Yes. Now man can truly be free, which is inside, in the heart. That's where he comes and occupies. See, that's, you know, there are definite players, individuals that God used to advance his law of liberty. And so like King Alfred of England in the 800s, my understanding is he went to Rome and learned there Latin and all that. And that was where a lot of learning, that was the known world at that time, Rome. And he came back to England, and he wanted people to be literate. So he set up schools to teach people to read. And that's where God used even other individuals to make the scriptures readily available to the common person. Because also at that time, Rome being the church, if you know, as it was visible, there was other streams of Christian faith that were not part of that centralization. But Rome wanted to control the very word, the law of liberty, which is the scriptures.
This episode will continue after a brief word from our sponsor who supports our ministry.
Gold is near all-time highs. Has it reached its peak? Did you miss the boat? No, I don't think so. The exploding debt, change in the interest rate cycle, political and economic turmoil have caused the current move in gold. And those things are getting worse. In fact, Citibank projected gold to hit $3,000 an ounce over the next 12 to 18 months. I encourage you to protect and grow your investment portfolio with gold. I trust Dr. Kirk Elliott with Sovereign Advisors. With over 25 years of experience and two PhDs, Kirk Elliott is the best of the best in the industry. Call his office at 720-605-3900 and tell him Sean Morgan sent you, or just click on the link in the description to get that free consultation.
So the other interesting thing is that Jesus is called the King of Kings, and that he bestowed sovereignty upon us. Instead of making us servants, he put us on equal footing as himself, as a king. He made us kings and gave us dominion, you know, gave, you know, Adam's dominion over earth back to us. So we are all kings, right? We are all sovereigns. That before in Europe, these monarchs were trying to say they were the only sovereigns. And they were trying to get that divine right, right? They were trying to make that connection. It's like, no, God made me a sovereign. I have divine right. But if you look at what Jesus said, he actually gave all of us divine right to rule but to rule the freedom to do good, right?
That's exactly right, Sean. And one way I can answer you there is one of the great exchanges between the old world of Europe and the new world of America. I have it in the book. I have, there's these seven great exchanges of history. And one of them is what you're touching on right now. And that is, in the old world, we had people experience the sovereignty of the king or pope over man. Okay. So there's your man wanting to dominate over man. Okay. And that's, yeah, the idea that a single political party or church or denomination can dictate man. Okay. Versus the new world, where the sovereignty of God in the free and independent individual is governed by him. And then I have several passages there in Acts, Romans, and Corinthians, and Galatians. So it was a shift of dependence upon, you know, a king or pope to God himself.
Yeah. It's quite a lot. It's a big mantle of responsibility on each of us to live up to, isn't it?
To be responsible?
Yes, to be a representative of God's kingdom, to have sovereignty. I think that's what the collective consciousness is struggling with right now, Barry, is that a lot of people are not ready to be sovereign. They're so used to being subservient to professionals, experts, legal professionals like lawyers and judges, medical experts like doctors and nurses and health politicians and so forth, and to employers and bosses and the corporate elite and rich people. And they just think to themselves, I'm nobody. I don't know anything. I don't have any expertise. I just need to follow and do what I'm told to do because they know more than I do. And that's not sovereignty. They're abdicating. You know, do you catch what where I'm going with this?
Yes. And where we want to start, you know, we can look at things historically that we're talking about, and then our modern times and the problems and breakdown of just peaceful living. But it is so encouraging to look into the scriptures and look at how things are to be done governmentally, not necessarily religiously. There's a place for that. We can talk about that, because actually everybody inherently is religious when we define what that really is. But for example, Sean, do we need an expert to help us with such things as whoever is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly? Okay. There's another passage I like. This is also in Proverbs, that keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life or the problems of life. And so people perhaps think they need an expert for that, counseling and all that. But if we would meditate and renew our mind to the revealed law of God, he will see that he is all about capturing the heart and it being ruled by him, not by people external to us, like the experts. And or even somebody in the neighborhood, somebody in a business, somebody in a church. How about that one? That's really out there.
Well, now that you brought that up, I feel like we should share the good news about the Holy Spirit. You know, when Jesus came and the transformation of before, you know, the old covenant and the new covenant, and how the Holy Spirit transforms our heart and our mind and renews us, because there might be some people listening out there who are not Christians, or some people who think they are, but it's really just an ideology and it's not really renewing their life. So can you just explain that briefly?
Yes. It's good to understand that gospel, that good news, in the backdrop of that law is that which never changes. When God gave his law to man through Moses as the great lawgiver, the law of God was external to man on tablets of stone. All right. Then Jesus comes and he models what it is to have that law of God within. That's the Holy Spirit. After he got baptized, right? He's baptized in water and the Holy Spirit, he is now going about doing good, healing all who are oppressed of the devil, because God's with him. And so he models the self-rule, the self-governed life. You look in all the Gospels, and especially John's Gospel, but he's praying, he's seeking the Lord, he's dependent on him. The fact that he has a prayer life is evidence that he is wholly dependent on his Heavenly Father, just as we now, if we're born again, we are wholly dependent on the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit in us, to affect change and transformation. And it's taking the law of God external on stones and bringing it into the inside. And that's a work that he does. But if we seek him, he'll give it to us. And that's what's called the new birth. Sean?
So it started out, the law was written on these clunky tablets of stone. And then Jesus came and he wrote the law on our hearts, and it became conscience, right? I mean, is that another word that you use interchangeably for how the Holy Spirit works in us?
That's an interesting question. Interchangeably, I would say that the conscience is a part of the mind that God has made. And the word conscience, that now this is a very, this is a good subject to explore now and in the future. But most people don't really deal with their conscience well, I would say. We can see it in society. But it's used approximately 32 times in the New Testament. So there's a lot there to okay. And one of the most clear places is Romans 2, where people who don't even know God personally, God has given them a conscience to know what's right from wrong. And so for those people who never hear the good news of Christ's kingdom government on the land that he brought with him 2,000 years ago, God will judge them based on their conscience. So that tells us they're not born again people, but God's given them the witness of their conscience to decide on the rightfulness or wrongness of their behavior. And that's somebody that's acting on the laws of nature. But then the laws of nature is God getting those in us. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay. And so they are two separate realities in God's creation of our conscience. And that's why you can have, you mentioned, I think earlier about the jury. We don't have to worry that everybody on a jury is not a truly God-fearing person. Again, God's given everyone a conscience so that when you present the evidence, present the facts, people will, not absolutely, not perfectly, but people will render what's called substantial justice.
So the Holy Spirit kind of amplifies the voice of our conscience, or makes it stronger, more convicted, and communicates with us more and more perfectly about the higher truths and higher law.
I would say that, excuse me, I have to close the window. The Holy Spirit's role is to be a testimony unto Jesus Christ, and that's his word. So the Holy Spirit will take the word of God. I'm looking for mine. I have it over here, but to illuminate. That the role of the Holy Spirit is to illuminate. See, the conscience is a voice of God. However, it must be enlightened according to Scripture, because it's a fallen conscience, because we are sinners. Okay. Now, if we're born again, we're redeemed from sin. The power of it is not there. So, you know, now we're where we were sinners, and now, you know, we're saints. But there's debate about that. You know, some people don't like to be called a saint or a sinner. So it's like, you know, have your conscience before the Lord, and let's not oppress each other. But it clearly, the Holy Spirit, that's God, God, the Holy Spirit, he illuminates. That's his work. He takes the word of God and makes it living. That's where you become dangerous against the world order.
What I'm hearing from you is that the missing puzzle piece for most people is they're not, you know, exposed to the word of God enough. They're not reading it. They're not hearing it. They're not associating with people who are reflecting it.
I'm sorry, state that again, Sean.
The most people are starved for the word of God. They're not hearing the word of God. They're not reading it. They're not associating with people who are reflecting that back to them. And so then they end up creating this world in their own image, you know, all of their own ideology based on their own rational mind. And it's this false constructed reality. And they'll just keep on experiencing the same patterns and the same problems over and over and over again, because nothing is illuminating and bringing them to a higher level.
Excellent. No, that's excellent, Sean. Yes. The scripture says the entrance of thy word gives light and gives understanding to the simple. We are all really simple-minded, even with all of our studies, when it comes down to it, comparing to him who has all knowledge. That's what it means, is he's omnipotent. Well, he has all power and he's omniscient. Yeah, he's omniscient. He's all knowledge. We're a grain of sand in that whole spectrum. But that grain of sand that we are valuable. So God created every one of us valuable because he gave us a human soul and spirit. Okay. And so there's an inherent value in all people. That's in our Declaration of 76, that all men are created equal before a just and holy God. But yes, the word of God needs to be meditated on and come to correct conclusions. We need help. We need teachers. We need good resources. So that's what I've been doing, Sean. I've been exposed to teachers and resources. Like, where have these people been? These thinking, our founders. It is shouting ground, Sean, to be focusing on what's good about the very nation that we're born in. And to your point about people challenged there, meditating on the wrong things and what they're hearing, that's the devil's work of telling you what's wrong with everything.
Yeah, and I hope that the purpose of this podcast will be to equip Christians to self-govern themselves and their families, and it will heal our nation. And you have provided me with lots of great resources of theologians and writers and tools. And you also have your website, and I think you're going to be launching a resources page. So can you share, you know, what's available on your site now and what you plan on making available to people?
Sure. So I am a writer, Sean, and the website is libertyisthelaw.us. And so I've been blogging for a couple of years and wanting to get to, you know, a very consistent thing. But why I haven't is that, I've been working on the book. So the book is essentially done. It's coming out here just shortly here in this month. And so there's articles I've written about what's good about America, how to overcome our enemies. All right. And I am also, I have there a couple pages about the book. There's actually even a second book that's in the works. Actually, there's even a third one. There's a pipeline of world overcoming ideas that I have been working in for 25 years that we're experiencing. It's not theory. Self-government, the government of Christ in the individual, is a real power to overcome the yokes and burdens of men. And so they're threatened by that. And we're bringing more resources in on the website, some music things, and a design is coming forward to brand the idea of America. That'll be the cover of the book, and it's actually going to make for t-shirts as well, because we really think people are going to want to have something tangible to say, I know what's good about America, and that's to be an American, a self-governed individual.
You know, it's just so much to cover in one podcast. We didn't get to go into the details of what makes America special and those governing principles and the founders and the providential journey. Let's get into that in the next episode. It was so good talking to you, Barry. I consider you a spiritual mentor of mine, and I'm so happy with how deep we were able to go in such a short amount of time. And I think this is going to feed people's souls. Patriots right now, they're feeling lost. They're feeling troubled. And the word of God just provides that peace and solace and confidence that his hand is guiding everything and leading us exactly where we need to go. And that's one of the things about the Holy Spirit that is so amazing, is that it might not be fun, but when God keeps you as part of his flock, he chastises you and he keeps you going in the right direction, even though sometimes it's painful. And so it's not going to be an easy journey. No one said the Christian life is going to be easy, but it's so much better than the journey of the lost. You know, that's eternity lost. So we're sharing a beautiful thing with patriots around the world right now, that they can achieve victory in their families and in their life. And doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it will be fulfilling. And something you talk about in your book is that Jesus, he breaks burdens and yokes. You know, he lifts those burdens off of you. He frees you. And so I'll give you the final thoughts, Barry, specifically about that, if you can, about how Jesus breaks yokes and lifts burdens.
Sean, this is good. And as you're saying, you know, projecting, you know, looking ahead to do this regularly, to lay, you know, we're laying the groundwork, and we want to be working in foundational things. But yes, Jesus Christ, I have a perspective about Christ that we tend to sing about and limit him into sermons or songs. But Sean, look, when the individual seeks him, you cannot seek the Lord of glory, who has all power, and not have that affect you in your physical body and in the course and direction of your life. And I am leading this family of seven, an example. We're not the standard, but see, America is not the standard of what's good. It's an example of, none of us are an example of what's good. We are, did I say standard? Yeah, we're not a standard. We are an example. As we represent the King, the true landlord of America, to get a hold of him like that, Sean, is to throw off the wrong view of religion and about meetings and all that. I'm talking about, yes, in our individual capacity, in our homes, men do not need to wait, get permission to wait to do good. They don't, because Jesus is their head. That's what the scriptures teach. And I believe that message is coming out. I mean, it was going to come out anyway before we met, Sean. So God is using you. Okay. And we'll get into that, I think, in future lessons, how God uses. He's not looking for masses. He's looking for the one. You're one, Sean. I'm one. And whoever's listening to us right now, you're one that God wants to use in such a way it's going to be befuddling to the natural-minded people around you.
Absolutely, Barry. I love your passion, and I agree. I think that we're on a journey here. We're going to be releasing these on Sundays to inspire people and to spiritually nourish them. And something that you taught me that I've noticed, I started to just to really recognize it in my life, is that Jesus works and God works relationally, and that when we are in community, spiritual community with other believers, we lift each other's burdens. It's like, that's the body of Christ.
Yes, Sean. Yes. Let me just, you in the previous comment you made before this one, yes, about Jesus being the burden lifter and the yokes. What I write in the book and what's really in the scriptures is that he is the burden removing yoke destroyer. He doesn't lift yokes. He actually destroys them. That's what we'll look into that in scriptures. But the thing is, Sean, is that in our fallenness, we have our own burdens and yokes. That's the devil's work, working through other people to dominate our life. But when we come under the rule of Jesus Christ, he actually tells us in the Gospels to take his yoke and his burden, because they are light. And when we don't take on his, we have our own that's imposed by ourselves and by others. They are burdened. They are weary, and they are down. They downtrodden people. It is a glorious thing to just like not have a care for those, not care for your life, care for his life. And then we will experience true life. And I'm telling you, Sean, I'm excited to talk to people how to live. If even we have lived so lean materially and financially because of faith, his gospel, his good news. And so I'm thrilled about your life, this program that you're launching and doing this together. We want to reach America, and we're not consenting to the rival deities of worldly business, oppressive church, or tyrannical state. These three are false gods against the Lord Jesus Christ, the true ruler of all things.
Absolutely. And I just think it's amazing how God works through other people, you know, that's, you know, someone who's not a Christian, who's listening to this because they're used to me talking about the breaking news. Mm-hmm. They might be thinking to myself, oh, Jesus is a yoke destroyer and a burden lifter. Does this mean I have to, you know, get one of those Catholic, you know, statues or rosaries and try to communicate with some kind of, you know, spiritual being. And I never know if they're communicating back to me. It's like the body of Christ is alive on this earth right now through other believers. Like, and it's just amazing to experience spiritual communication in so many different dimensions. You know, that it's not just through prayer. It's not just through talking to God, although you can do that. It's through your life circumstances. It's through your relationships. It's through these coincidences and synchronicities and signs and symbols in your life. There's this, all these spiritual communication that that I think that a lot of that's overlooked in the Sunday sermons, you know. They don't talk about all those dimensions of spiritual communication. And so we can dig into that as the episodes progress. So everyone go to Barry's website, libertyisthelaw.us. Check out the resources that are available now. In a couple of weeks here, you'll be able to get a copy of his book. And go to seanmorganreport.com. That's where you're going to be able to subscribe to everything related to what we're doing. And just the Lord's blessing upon all of you who are listening. And we'll see you next Sunday, same time. This is going to be a regular thing.
All right. Thank you, Sean.
A way to support the channel and be able to get a really great experience of waking up every single day with the Great Awakening Gourmet Coffee. So this is the website, thegreatawakeningcoffee.com. You go here, you click on Get Started. And then it takes you to the next step. You choose whether you're going to buy the coffee for your home or your office. So we'll just click home for now. And the website will load here. And by the way, this company is totally Patriots owned. So that's what I really like about this company. You can choose what kind of coffee you want, ground, whole, or the K-cup. So we'll just choose ground. It's the easiest. That's the way I buy it. And then you can pick the kind that you like. I prefer the Washington blend, South America blend. Click on that. You put in the size that you want, 1 pound or 2 pound. You can subscribe so that it sends the same amount of coffee at the same time every month. And then click subscribe and save. Then click on view cart. Make sure you put in the coupon code QFAQ to get a discount. And then proceed to checkout, and you know how to handle the rest with your credit card. It's that simple. You know what's going on right now with the corporate coffee is they're donating a bunch of millions of dollars to Black Lives Matter. So ditch the corporate coffee. Check out thegreatawakeningcoffee.com. Support the Patriots. Support this channel. Thank you so much for your support. God bless.